Good morning, friends. Today we are reading Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 12. It is our last meditation on Proverbs 3. Let's jump straight into it without wasting any time. It reads as follows. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. In our final meditation of the week, the son is commanded to honor the Lord with his material blessings, or his income, if you like. Note that the offering will be made out of the first harvest, meaning that it will be the best of the harvest, the first fruits. Why would God demand this? Because God clearly does not need the so-called material things, as illustrated in the psalm below. God owns it all. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, every creature in the forest, yes, even the cattle on a thousand hills, is mine. This is God speaking. Why does God command to be honored in this particular way, with material blessings, when he owns it all? In one way, in one of the Psalms, David writes, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Sometimes we believe that there is a secular and a spiritual things, and we would like to believe that the so-called material things are not that important to God. There is no such a thing as spiritual and material in the Christian life. For everything comes from God and belongs to God. The Old Testament Jews brought to the Lord the firstlings of their flocks and the first fruits of their fields, and in this way acknowledged God and his sovereignty. God's demand of a tithe was to test the attitudes of the Jews in their trust and devotion toward him. Here's the crux of the matter. If we don't faithfully give to the Lord, we don't really trust him. Of course, our tithes and offerings aren't payment for his blessings. Rather, they are evidence of our faith and our obedience toward our God. Giving is a heart preparation for what God wants to say to us and what he wants to do in us. This can be interpreted as gratitude offering to God, commanded under the law. It is our endless obligation to God. And again in Matthew 6, verse 33, we are encouraged to be concerned first with the kingdom of God. Then all these, yes, the material things, will be provided as per need. Ironically, the very things we release as part of a worship, God releases back to us in the form of blessing. He says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. He promises that we won't lack when we honor him with our material things. There will always be an overflow of blessing. This might be done either in kind, when we give to the Lord, or by worth in money. Whatever God sends us in the way of secular prosperity, so-called secular prosperity, a portion of it always was given to the poor and for God's causes. When that tithe is offered, the rest is consecrated. When it is withheld, God's curse is upon the whole. Through tithes and offerings, the Lord created a system to take care of the priests who were working full-time at the temple, and this system also took care of the poor. The other command we are dealing with is found in verse 11, and it says, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, my son, and do not resent his warning, because the Lord warns the one he loves, even as a father warns a son with whom he is pleased. This is talking about discipline. And as we know it, discipline is a part of God's plan to help his sons and daughters mature in godly character. God disciplines us, not as a judge punishes a criminal, but as a parent disciplining a child. He acts in love, and His purpose is that we might become as holy as He is holy. Sometimes He disciplines because we have rebelled and need to repent. Other times, He does so to keep us from sinning and to prepare us for a special blessing. No matter how much the experience hurts, it will never harm us because God always disciplines in love. The discipline of Yahweh is not to be taken negatively, for the hardships in the wilderness were balanced by miraculous provisions, both designed to test what was in their hearts, that's the Jews, whether they would keep His commands or not. Let us read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. And it says, "Endure discipline. God corrects as a father corrects his children. All children are disciplined by their fathers. If you aren't disciplined like the other children, you aren't part of the family. On earth, we have fathers who discipline us, and we respect them. Shouldn't we place ourselves under the authority of God, the Father of spirits, so that we will live? For a short time, our fathers disciplined us as they thought best. Yet God disciplines us for our own good so that we can become holy like Him. We don't enjoy being disciplined. Yes, it's true. It always seems to cause pain, more pain than joy. But later on, those who learn from that discipline have peace that comes from doing what is right." Discipline includes elements of training and correction. Training has got to do with empowering someone to do something better. Thinking about a work environment, people are trained and equipped to be efficient and competent in their areas of disciplines. Sometimes promotion comes after one has undergone some form of training. I'm sure God will not sidestep this process. I am deliberately inferring that God disciplines us to empower us to become better servants at what we do. Discipline, in a way, is a sign and a reminder that we are loved, and it must never be interpreted as rejection. The Lord wants the ones He loves, even as a father wants a son with whom he is pleased. The other assumption I can safely make is that God is pleased with every son and daughter who are relentlessly giving themselves over to pleasing their Heavenly Father. We are encouraged to look down, not to look down or to make little the discipline we receive from the Lord. Unfortunately, the fool appears to be the one who resists the discipline most vehemently. The contrast is that a wise son welcomes discipline, while on the other hand, a fool despises it. The outcome will always be good for the one who welcomes it. What are you taking away from this meditation today? Could it be trusting God with a provision? Or perhaps there are things God is purging away as a form of discipline? Whatever it is you are convicted to change, I would like to encourage you to take those steps that would promote change and spiritual growth in you. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and I hope to see you soon. God bless.